Hello, welcome to the Hero House podcast. I'm Dale.
I'm Adon.
We're coming to you from not Hero House again.
But next door to Hero House, the chocolate tasting room and coffee bar right next door, where they sell coffee and, of course, obviously chocolates there. Definitely would recommend come stopping by and getting the chocolates.
It's Literally Divine Chocolates. The name, Literally Divine, owned by our friend Susan, and great neighbor. We tried to do the podcast last week. Please, if you can hear the lovely background sounds of Fountain Square, we're by a firehouse also, so please, you know, hey, it's popular. But we didn't get it, so this week we're going to try again. Adon introduced himself, and I'll let him talk a little bit about his first comic book, and I'll talk a little bit about my first comic book, just for brief minutes, and then we're going to talk about The Flash, which is how we were talking about Grant Gustin. Isn't that Grant Gustin?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Says it. He's like, and I am The Flash. But so we'll let Adon just kind of talk about his first comic book, and he'll do that for about 2-3 minutes, and then I'll talk about the first memorable comic book I had.
All right, first comic book I ever gotten. In your case, you're probably wondering, why are they talking about this? This sounds crazy. This is madness. Why couldn't I be hearing Dr. Demento podcast? Well, honestly and truthfully, if you're listening to us, you love the comic books. Simple as that there. So, and Dr. Demento, I don't know. It's very questionable music. That's what I think. But that's neither here nor there. We all like our stuff. So, but anyway. So, well, me and Dale, we just simply like comic books. Plain simple. The artwork, the stories. You get the right comic book, and it is, you don't want to put it down there. So.
He says he likes them. I love them. So.
Well, I love them too, but it just depends on what comic book you get. Ever so often you get that one comic book, you're like, well, this is an odd comic book. Why did I pick this up? So, but anywho, first comic book that I bought was probably around 7 years old, and that was a reprint of The Amazing X-Men. It had the covers of the original X-Men on top, and of course had the Eunice the Untouchable. The comic book was written, of course, by the amazing Jack the King Kirby and, of course, Stan the Man Lee. So, that pretty much, if I ever found that comic book in my stack of comic books, you would see it being tattered to bits. So, that pretty much set me on the road to comic books. Probably the best comic book that I've ever read, I wouldn't have to say, would be The Flash 100, written by Mark Waid. Drawn by Sal LaRocca and Oscar Jimenez. That was the one where everything not changed and did not change. So I think it's pretty much, if you read the Mark Waid run there of Terminal Velocity there, of Wally West trying to outrun his fate of being absorbed by the Speed Force, you'll see that the tone and set pretty much is almost very similar to the TV show The Flash. So that pretty much cemented my relationship with comic books.
Are you sure it's The Flash or is it The Flash?
Flash.
The Flash. And my first comic book, to my knowledge, I was either 4 or I was like just turned 5. And I actually bought a pair of Shazam shoes that day also at the shoe store, but we went to my uncle owned the drugstore, so I had a just abundance of great comic books to pick from, and I saw a Batman comic book. I've seen Batman on TV, which is where it began for me, was with Adam West on Batman 66, and Batman was kind of on the cover, but it was his headstone. It was a very nice headstone. It was Jim Aparo. Do you remember Jim Aparo?
Yep. Can't go wrong with the Jim Aparo artwork there.
No.
Clean, crisp. Mm. You can follow the storyline there. He's pretty much, in my opinion, the definite version of Batman you'll ever get.
And that's how I feel. That's the Batman I grew up, you know, 70s, 80s, even 90s. Even the new millennium a little. He was, his headstone was there, and it was Batman. It was a very nice statue of Batman, and here lies Batman, blah, blah, blah. And the Riddler, the Catwoman, the Joker, the Penguin, Lex Luthor for sure.
Yes.
We're all on this cover, and it was the death of Batman. It's either 4 or 5 issue run, and in the inside it was Irv Novik did the artwork, and this one featured Catwoman as the villain. Oh, and it was so nice, but I just remember I had to have that. And I don't know if I got it because it was per se Batman, or is this all the villains were on the cover. And Riddler was one of them, I forget. He was holding, my favorite Batman villain at the time, he was holding a can of red paint, and I think Joker had a paintbrush, and that said, "Here lies Batman, may he rest in peace," and they redded out the piece and put hell on there. So, but that was my favorite comic book, and I mean, I would really go on to love comic books. I remember the next Batman comic book my dad bought me was another Batman comic, and it was Marshall Rogers and Stephen Englehart, who's from Indiana. We love him. But that was the revamp of Deadshot. But I do have those in my collection now. They're not the originals. As Adon said, if they were the originals, I don't even know if I'd have a page left. They just would fall apart, and, you know, I loved my comics then, you know. I can't really say, since you mentioned it, your most memorable comic was Flash 100?
Yep.
I would have to say, and this did feature Wally West also, but was Crisis on Infinite Earths number 11. Written by Marv Wolfman, drawn by George Perez. I believe it was inked by Jerry Ordway. And it's when we knew for sure that there had been a change in the DC Universe. And I knew for sure that I was probably going to buy comic books until the day I die. And that I'd have to find a woman to support this habit with me and never say a bad word about it. And that's why I have the wife I have today, if she's listening. Anyway. So, Wally West is by far the original Wally West, because now there are two Wally Wests, which I think actually the new Wally West, who's in Teen Titans and the Flash Monthly comic, and is featured on the television series as Iris's brother, not nephew. It's such a long story, but there are two Wally West. They're both Iris's nephew. And the one in the Teen Titans and the Flash Monthly has become a really cool character. And Dan Abnett is paying tribute, who they are calling him the Flash. Are you getting Teen Titans?
I am not, no.
Oh, but they're calling him the Flash, not to, you know, so he's just another Flash. And they're kind of picking up the Linda and Wally romance. So Linda is Wally's anchor into this, and, you know, when he gets lost in the Speed Force, which we're going to talk about a little. Because he does that a lot. He seems to do that. He needs to, as he said in the last issue of Teen Titans, you know, sometimes Flash just have to go really fast to
that
save the
Titans.
World.
Yeah, see, there's the Titans and there's the Teen Titans.
That's the Titans.
Titans, yes.
The Wallys are in both.
Yes.
So, let's just start out with character Wally West, and I promised Adon, now I sound like Harry.
As long as you don't say I'm a her, I'm all right.
No. You, as in Adon, last week, that I would bring you a copy of The Flash number 1 from the reboot, which started with Wally West, which was written by Mike Baron, and we talked about Mike Baron.
Very understate writer there, so I think anybody who's read a Mike Baron book, well, 9 times out of 10, like him. Nexus, the Executor, the Punisher, so the Flash, of course, there. So those are really the big key to three characters that if you're going to associate Mike Maron with, those are the big three.
Yeah, and great artist on all of those books. Nexus, Steve Rude, whose artwork is amazing.
I'm going to say he's the guy that pretty much set the standard in terms of if you're going to look at, say, animated styles.
Mm.
You know, right before Bruce Timm had started drawing it, Steve Rude was in that genre there, that style there. If you like a Bruce Timm or the late Cook.
Yep. I was going to say,
you know,
how could Cook not be influenced by him?
Yeah. Steve Rude is definitely one you want to check out there.
And
probably the best Steve Rude book that if anyone would want to check out would be The World's Finest with David Gibbons and Steve Rude there. Two part series. Superman meets Batman. Enough said.
Joker meets Luthor.
Exactly. So, that we digress. Off to a tangent again.
And then on Punisher, he had various, didn't he have a few artists on Punisher?
Oh, quite a few of them. There is the ever so popular Eric Larson. So he did that for about five issues there before that.
That was fun.
There was Will Porcells.
Oh, Walt Pacheco.
Walt Pacheco. He's the artist,
Pacheco, yeah.
The creator of Wet Works there of Image Comics. So he did a little bit of that.
Did Mike Zeck draw any with him?
Not with Mike Maron, no. He stuck with Stephen Grant.
Stephen Grant, okay.
Yes, he did the limited series, and then, of course, the graphic novel with Steve Grant there. So, and then Russ Heath, the ever-classical artist for the 1960s there. He's right along the leads of Joe Kirby. He did a two-issue run. And Bill Rehort. He's one of the artists of Badger with Mike Baron there. So, more famous work perhaps would be Earth X.
He was
the inker on that there. So Mike Baron had quite a few numbers before he stopped his run.
And Mike Baron, I almost called him Mike Badger, who I had, like, I talked to him for about 3 hours at PopCon Indy this year. And he, great gentleman. He is still publishing Badger. Under his conditions, I think that's as far as I know. And look for that. I mean, he's a great writer. He did a little piece from DC that was in the showcase with Nightwing. He didn't write Nightwing, but Nightwing was the feature. And it was like kind of a Suicide Squad story. I forget who the artist was. But on Flash, the artist was Jackson Butch Geiss.
If you don't know who that is, you have not been checking out the comic books lately. He's very classical. I don't want to say classical.
He's more of that 80s. He definitely had this like flair in the 80s that like he did Micronauts, and he did the X-Men Micronauts, which was just beautiful.
Probably the more recent stuff he's done has been, I would say, Ninjak for Valiant Comics.
Ninjak, yeah.
He did a backup story there.
Did he do some Wolverine?
I don't know if he done one over in Resurrection Man, of course, obviously.
Yes.
He was one of the creators of that one there.
Yeah.
He did a couple of issues of Captain America during the Ed.
I mean, he's been prolific. Yes. I mean, I think he did some Power Man and Iron Fist in the day.
Yes.
But from like the late 70s, and he's still doing stuff today. He did Superman for a while in the 90s with Roger Stern.
Oh, yes.
Action. Right. That was Action.
Actually, was in Action Comics, I think, right after the death of Superman. Or before.
Yeah, it was right after he came back. He was kind of like the new team, like the new artist. And he drew a pretty good-looking Lois Lane. He did. She was, not smutty looking, but like the total reporter kind of like
classical
look. like
if you think of Lois Lane, this is the image you think.
Yeah, he made her really attractive, what I think is attractive anyway. So, but he drew the first few issues of Flash with Mike Baron as the writer, and the first issue, which was loosely interpreted on Young Justice for the birthday of Wally West. And Wally basically opens his door, and who's standing there but the Teen Titans? Because Wally had been hanging out with the Titans when the Brother Blood had kidnapped Nightwing and Starfire, and it saw this, and Wolfman couldn't get out of the funk, and they kind of had to have some other people come in and finish that story up. And then it said, see the next issue, the first issue of The Flash, blah, 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 for Wally's story. And there he was, and the party's over and stuff. And Wally is asked to have, to take this heart transplant, to take this heart from one part of the country, from Blue Valley or wherever they were, Central City, to someplace on the West Coast or far away. And Wally's like, I'll do it, but you have to guarantee me lifetime health benefits in order to do it, because I can't afford this. I need health insurance. I need life insurance. Da-da-da-da-da. And the hospital's like, well, you're a superhero. He's like, I'm a superhero, but I have to live. And so anyway, he does that. Sorry for the spoiler. And we also discover that Flash has an appetite in this and all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the story, it's revealed that Vandal Savage is out for the Flash. And that's Mike Baron really made Vandal Savage a big bad. And so it goes on, and we're introduced to lovely characters. Do you remember Chunk? He's a big guy. He ate tables and cars. And
oh, I since I didn't read that run, I heard of him.
Yeah, but you kind of know.
Yeah.
And he also introduced us to, kind of opened the door to the Speed Force, but what's her name? She was on Tina Yother, or not Tina Yothers. She's still Tina McGee. Dr. Tina McGee, who's still on The Flash. She's on both series, but we were introduced to her and her husband, who was a speedster, and Wally had to stop him. And this took us up to, do you know what Millennium is when I talk about Millennium?
I heard of it. I have to research on that. So.
Yeah, you don't want to. It was the first weekly series by DC. It was written by Stephen Englehart. It was drawn by Joe Staton. Couldn't tell you. Two great guys. Joe Staton created The Huntress. And, well, Stephen Englehart's from Indiana. Joe Staton created Power Girl, too. But it wasn't their best work. But